Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing, and fresh off perhaps an FBI interrogation.
No.
Cody Tapp. We said yesterday, man, yesterday, one of the biggest stories of the year, FBI investigating illegal poker games, obviously sports betting scandal. You've invited us to poker games at your place before. And I said, a day where 30 plus people were arrested and indicted because of a scheme, organized crime. I didn't know you were connected to all that. And you're here. Did you already get arraigned and everything? That was quick.
Unlike Chauncey Billups, I'm a free man, you know? I don't know what his legal situation's looking like, but it's better than mine. You guys accuse me of running illegal poker games?
Well, do you?
No! I work in radio. You think I can afford an X-ray table?
Well, you don't have to have the X-ray table.
Well, how am I cheating then? Oh, the cards, I guess, and the glasses?
High-stakes poker at the Tapp household.
We don't play that high of stakes. In this case, who's the face of this game? Is it Briscoe when he comes? Who's the face card?
No, you would still be the face because you're the radio host. They assume it's on the up and up because you're a public figure.
I think Briscoe's the face card. He comes to my game sometimes.
You think he's the one that's recruiting everybody?
Yeah, he's the one. It's like Joshua Briscoe's going to be there. He joins us at 11 o'clock.
So that makes people think it's a legit game.
Yeah.
I see.
I'm going to try to lump him in with me. If you're accusing me of fixing games, then Briscoe's in on it.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, I'd be careful. All I got to say is if they thought, man, Cody keeps hitting on a bunch of these hands tonight, he's not losing. This is kind of odd. It's almost like he knows what cards are coming.
The next time, I tell you this much, the next time I have a poker game, I better not win too much because it's going to look suspicious.
I think you should mess with people now. The next game, you like, and give everybody their money back, but for the first like four hands, just somehow you find a way.
Deck.
Like, or just like freak them out. Have some glasses that look really like sketch. Like not sunglasses.
Even though
like
I've never worn glasses at any point playing with these, playing with this group.
That's pretty quick. You got arraigned and out. Now your bail wasn't like Terry Rozier. It wasn't a $6 million house. You didn't have to put your house up.
They don't
mention
me in the FBI investigation when they're mentioning like big names. They don't mention also local radio host in Kansas City, Cody Tapp.
Well, you know these people are going
to
talk.
I've been to Vegas a few times.
It ends up the trickle down effect to you. You know
how many times I've been to Vegas in the last like 5 years? Like,
I mean, you and I together
four,
have gone
five, six times.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like at this point, it's quite a few.
What's Vegas have to do with your illegal poker?
That's where some of the games were.
That's on the up and up, though.
I was just saying that's where some of the illegal games were.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I warned Bink to be on speed dial just in case you didn't show up today.
In case I was still in cuffs and couldn't get my call out.
So I'm glad you're back.
I'll be honest. You guys would not be my first call. I'd be my lawyer.
Well, that would be a smart decision.
I would not bring you up
legit
first.
Drew, don't you agree? Cody's issue, you know, they're like, you know, obviously whatever you say can be used against you and all that. Cody would not be able to not talk.
Oh yeah,
Cody would want to explain the situation and talk.
Whoa! Let me tell you why this is fine.
Cody would call an attorney, like, "Hey, whatever you do, do not say anything. Just tell him you want a lawyer and do not answer any questions." And Cody would be like, "But I want to, I can just answer the questions right now.
Yeah,
you would get yourself in more trouble.
You
know?
So, huh?
Yeah.
I mean,
I would be the same way.
I mean, so, I would try to explain unless I was guilty of it. Then I'd try to shut up. You know.
I mean, either way, you should shut up, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, I am back.
Find out where you actually were.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a little bit.
Here in about 15 minutes or so. It is a Friday. We've got some fun things planned today. Number one, Josh Briscoe will join us at 11 o'clock. We'll talk some Chiefs football. He has gone to your poker game, so I definitely want to ask him about that. And in the 1 o'clock hour, noon hour today at 12:10, we'll talk with Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. Huge game in Nashville. Mizzou taking on Vandy. We'll get into that. We also will talk Sunflower Showdown, KUK State. The Jayhawks trying to snap this, 17-year run, or whatever it's up to these days, of the Wildcats beating the Jayhawks. And then the 1 o'clock hour, it is a Fan Club Friday, brought to you by Jay Rieger & Co. We're going to have Sarah from Jay Rieger & Co. in studio. We'll have some cocktails. We'll talk about Halloween a little bit, I'm sure, heading into the weekend and looking ahead to next week with that. Chiefs football. And then we also have a teacher.
Like an actual teacher.
Yeah, we have Miss Dugan coming in studio. Looking forward to a Fan Club Friday.
You might
today.
Know her from Instagram or TikTok. Mixing it up on a Fan
she's
Club Friday.
She's got like 350,000, maybe more. Maybe I'm underestimating her.
I think she's going to be very important for the show. One, she can teach us about the youth of America. We just went over all the slang last week for a Professor Tab segment. But also, I saw over the summer, she did an entire segment on how men should behave in dating situations as a single person. And seeing how you are a single person, that feels like maybe there's some tips or tricks.
Oh boy.
For the trade. So it feels like a good mix at 1 o'clock.
Yeah. We'll see. Miss Dugan is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour today. All right. Let's talk a little Chiefs football. Yesterday, a big chunk of the show obviously was around the sports betting and illegal poker stuff. And so we didn't get into some of the reporting out there from Jeremy Fowler and others about the trade deadline, which is less than 2 weeks away. It's a week from Tuesday, actually, the NFL trade deadline. You and I, a couple days ago, had briefly spoke about both of us thinking there's a chance. You know, I think you had said you would be willing to trade Christian Fulton. I said, I'd be more willing to look at trading somebody like Josh Williams than Christian Fulton. I want the depth. Well, ESPN put out their top 25 candidates that could be traded. And I'm curious, how many of those do you want the Chiefs to look at? And also, is there anybody there where you're like, hey, I don't want Buffalo or I don't want Indianapolis, for example, or Denver for that matter?
I think that's what makes the list interesting. Obviously, you're not going to be surprised to find out that two of the fits listed in Jeremy Fowler's top 25 free agents are Jalen Phillips and Breece Hall. That is not shocking news to anybody. I still don't think they're going to be in the running back market, and we can talk more about it in the show later. I still don't think that's there. Look, if Jalen Phillips is available and they think they can get somebody, or if for some reason Quinnen Williams, whose name is starting to circle, is a possible trade candidate for the actively winless Jets, and obviously Jermaine Johnson and some of these other ones that might be available, I am interested. I think that when you start looking at the trade fits, the thing that stood out to me the most is there's no interior guys on this entire list, Gold. There's a list of 25 guys, and they are almost all exclusively edge. Edge players after edge players after edge players. So in order to solve the current gap they have in the middle part of their offensive line, that's going to be a challenge based on the available free agents in any kind of meaningful way. Can they get some random vet that does the job of Derek Nani or Omar Norman Lott and is meant to be a run-stuffing guy for a fifth or a sixth? Yeah, probably. Impactful interior defensive guys, unless it's Quinnen Williams, the answer is pretty much it. If there was one move the Chiefs could make that I would be like, oh boy, you all are in big trouble, it'd be a player like that. More than even edge, more than even running back or Breece Hall. If they added a player like Quinnen Williams, and you guys are in trouble. I don't think they're going to get that kind of player. I don't think they're going to swing for that big of a fence. But for the Chiefs, that'd be the only one that I'd be like, whoa, running back would just be fun. That's the most fun
one. I just don't like Breece Hall. I understand why everybody's excited. I think the tricky thing with him is, A, the other teams that might be interested in him, but also the financial implication beyond this year. Are you willing to trade for someone that you might only have around for a year, or are you wanting to trade for a long-term answer at running back? And by long-term, I'm talking 2 years or so.
Yeah.
Breece Hall eventually is going to need to get paid, and he's going to get a pretty good contract, I think. He's pacing for over 1,000 yards. The only benefit after last night for this conversation is the other teams that we've thought need running backs, the Chargers, for example, maybe they're feeling like, okay, we're going to get Hampton back, and Vidal looks pretty good the last two games.
He does?
Certainly last night he looked great. They destroyed the Minnesota Vikings.
That was a beatdown of
so
epic proportions.
Are the Chargers still feeling like they need to go trade for a running back? I think two of the teams on this list for Breece Hall may not be interested anymore. The Chargers may not need to, and I don't think the Chiefs are going to be all that interested in trading for a running back. Next year, they need to either through the draft or free agency address it. Kareem Hunt's contract expires. Isaiah Pacheco's contract expires. So you'll go into next season basically with, you know, Breshard Smith under contract, maybe Carson Steele. Like that's about it under contract at the running back spot heading into 2026. So if they were to make a running back trade, I think it would have to be with someone they believe is part of their 2026 and maybe even 2027 future. Otherwise, I think we're talking about a rotational type of defensive lineman that they can go out and get, you know? And so that's where we get to the Jalen Phillips conversation. The Niners are also listed as a team that might be interested in his services. There's, you know, Jermaine Johnson, I don't think is realistic for Kansas City, but those are the kind of names that I think we would be keeping an eye on.
Now, on the list, who do you not like for other teams? Because I'll say,
well,
the things that make other teams dangerous and which they are weak are wide receiver and defensive lineman for the Bills. We immediately agree there, I assume.
Yes, so the Bills getting a Chris Olave, for example. He's number seven on this. And Chris Olave has dealt with some concussion problems, but when he's healthy, he's very good. He's doing it right now on a bad football team. He's got Spencer Rattler throwing the ball, who has been all right. But Olave has caught 44 passes for 440 yards and three touchdowns this year. And think about that. Three touchdowns. He has 13 career touchdowns because his availability is in question. I don't want the Buffalo Bills, for example, trading for him and getting him an outside threat. Jacoby Myers, look, I know he's listed even higher than Chris Olave. I'm not all that concerned if Jacoby Myers ends up on the Steelers or something. Like, to me, he's fine.
Jacoby Myers is like do I think it makes their team better? Yeah, sure, Gold. Okay, they are a slightly better team. Fine, I can accept that as part of the... but I don't know. That feels like the kind of player could just as easily be like, why did they add Jacoby Myers and he's not being involved in the off? Like, I could see it just falling off the planet. There are a couple of trades a year where people are like, ooh, look who they added. And it doesn't matter. I saw Mark Andrews listed as an option for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That would scare me a little bit. But the problem is that the only teams I actively fear right now are Chargers, Denver, and Buffalo, and what they might add. Because they're still fighting for the division, and we saw the Chargers last night, a team we can talk about here in a few minutes. So I don't want them adding it. And the other two teams I mentioned have obvious deficiencies. Like, the Broncos desperately need another offensive weapon. So if they added a real offensive weapon, not Jacoby Meyer, but they added like a Chris Olave type, same for either team, well then, yeah, I'll take them more seriously because that's at least a player that I think adds serious, like changes fundamentally how they operate.
I mean, the player listed number one on this is someone we've talked about for a year and a half, not to Kansas City, but to a rival. And Drew obviously is familiar with the situation. That's Trey Hendrickson. I mean, he's listed as the number one trade target, given where the Bengals are at as a team. And I know, like, we don't have to get into it. I know we all disagree on, like, how realistic it is for Cincinnati to get her on a run and make the playoffs and all that. But just talking from a trade perspective, let's say Cincinnati were to lose the next 2 weeks. They got the Jets and the Bears or whatever I think it is. But let's just say, like, they went 2-0 versus going 1-1 or 0-2. That can change this whole conversation for whether or not they actually would trade Trey Hendrickson. And that's a scenario where you should hope he gets traded to the 49ers or some. You don't want him getting traded to the Colts, you know, and adding another weapon to a defense that's playing pretty well.
I guess that's the thing. Who the Colts look to add right now?
Well, I think
they're very balanced. Edge is probably the one position you could make an argument. They're playing. I mean, again, they're top 10 offensive and defensive team right now. They're one of only three. We mentioned them earlier in the week. The Chiefs, the Colts, and now I can't remember who the third one was.
Patriots?
For what now? The teams that are top 10 on offense and defense.
Oh, who was the third?
Seattle, wasn't it?
Seattle.
There you go.
That's Seattle. Yeah. So NFC side, we don't have to worry about it. Yeah, I'll be watching closely. And I'll be honest, the Colts are the team who's going to add the most. Let's just accept that the Colts and the Bills should be the most aggressive. The Colts are in a window that they can, there's no way they can be sure they can replicate this again. They have to take maximum advantage. If I were any of these teams, I would say, who should be the most aggressive team in the NFL at the NFL trade deadline? I would answer the Indianapolis Colts. How do you know you'll be able to get this performance again next year? If you're having the Flacco year, the Blake Bortles when he went to the AFC title, if you're having that year, be all the way in on it and try to capitalize on the opportunity in front of you. And if you're the Bills, you're just desperate because how many years are we going to spend having Josh Allen and not getting to Super Bowls? And so if you got a, and the Patriots appear to have at least closed some significant ground on your ass. And if you're going to do that, you got to find a way to like punch back for the first time also, in a long time.
I think to your point, so I think Gold, you're right where, I mean, it might even be after just this week, but let's say in the next 2 weeks, if something happens, that'll dictate a lot of what happens. But I think, Cody, you're right where, because Trey Hendrickson is only on that 1 year little extension, the mini extension thing. So if you are the Colts and you think this might just be a one-off, for all we know, this could be the best chance that we have for the next foreseeable future to actually get something done. Also the Lou Anarumo connection, former being in Cincinnati. It feels like that would fit with the Colts, but also like you're, to your point, if you're the Bills and you feel like this is a year where if you just get somebody on defense who can help rush the passer, then you would be more aggressive than normal to get that one person, even if it's only for just the rest of this season before they enter free agency.
There are only like, I'd say four, I think, dynamic players that scare me when get added to a team. One is Trey Hendrickson. Jalen Waddle, who I don't think is going to get traded, but is being mentioned at least in trade conversations. But that's a big addition.
They should trade him, but I don't know if
they will. Yeah, because Tua can't see him. You know?
Brees, how about that? Tua's way too honest.
I know. Breece Hall, I would argue. And then I think Chris Olave and Jalen Phillips. That's it. That's the end of my list of players that I'm like, ooh, major impact. Even before Jermaine Johnson or some of these others where I feel like the impact is less. The funny part about this list for Drew, unfortunately, is there's like six Cincinnati Bengals listed.
And obviously, Logan Wilson just requested a trade yesterday, today. I don't know.
And it sounds like he's just mad because he's not playing anymore and they went younger and he's a reserve linebacker. So I guess they'll move him for a conditional seventh round pick. Let's be real. Probably. We're not getting anything more than that.
No. And honestly,
some team needs some linebacker depth, then yeah, fine. Logan Wilson gets traded.
We mentioned the Chargers. I do kind of want to look forward to the rest of the NFL slate a little bit, but they looked pretty good last night.
They did. They bounced back.
We back to worrying about them a little bit, you know.
What it did for me, I said it yesterday going in, to me, it was if you wanted to still believe the Chargers were going to factor into this AFC West race and have a chance to win it, they had a win last night. Otherwise, they would have been losers of 4 or 5. So that was a must-win game. Carson Wentz is terrible. He's also hurt. They're going to finally go back to J.J. McCarthy, it sounds like, next week. But that was a game where the Chargers flat out dominated. Their running game was awesome yesterday. They were able to get this young tight end, Gadsden, who has been great for 2 weeks in a row now and looks like they found something. That's a long-term thing in the AFC West that you don't like seeing. It looks like the Chargers found a legit tight end moving forward for them. Now you have Bowers. The Chiefs have Kelsey this year, but then after that, like all of a sudden you can go from the best to you might have the third. You might be have the third best tight end or the worst tight end in the division, depending on what the Chiefs do after this season, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because of Gadsden and obviously Bowers. The Broncos.
Gadsden did nothing for like four games in a row.
He barely played.
And then came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden is, I don't know, like he's a top 10 tight end in the NFL, the way he's playing right now. I'm not sure he's actually that in the long term, but my God, he looks like a real weapon.
He's unlocked something there for that offense. I was impressed. Yeah, I mean, I thought that was really impressive. The huge swing in the game early when it looked like a pick six was thrown by Herbert. They said it was incomplete. It goes from being 7-0 Vikings to then a long touchdown drive for the Chargers, and they never looked back. They just had to have that one. Otherwise, to me, they would not have really been a huge factor in the AFC West race. Now it looks like, once again, it's going to be a three-team thing for a while.
Yeah, you can't rule anyone out of the AFC West yet. They've all shown times in the season in which they've had warts. And like for Denver, it's like, can they score? Can they consistently score? Are there things there? But they're winning, right? They came from behind. They didn't lose to the Giants. They beat the Giants. And here's the upcoming Chargers schedule. Next week, they have the Titans. That for sure has to be a win. I don't care if it's on the road or not. But then it's Steelers, Jags, Eagles, Chiefs for the next five with the Raiders sprinkled in there. So they'll get tested. They've got the, I think, hardest remaining schedule if you just look at the teams on paper at the way they're playing, not the strength of schedule remaining, which we could look at later. But I do think that they are at least a serious team inside the division once again. And that game last night was just mostly kind of a joke. The Chargers, for whatever it's worth, they have the, let's see, I don't know, middle of the road. About the same as the Chiefs, Gold. Strength of schedule remaining, at least on that end. So nothing too crazy. As far as the NFL schedule goes, one, Like, I think that this is a really interesting week in the sense that we're halfway through the season-ish. We're not fully there, but we're right at that marker where teams you start taking seriously. And so last night, the same way you treated the Chargers, I think this is the weekend of when I decide you're either dead, I take you seriously, or like you're a real contender. So for instance, the Ravens don't beat the Bears. You're dead. It was nice seeing you. Gold, we're no longer entertaining the possibility of them being a serious contender and we don't have to bother with it. Then if you look at like the Colts, right? Like they're taking on the Titans. Nothing that game, but the Broncos against the Cowboys, I think is very interesting. The division games are what they're the AFC, the Steelers versus the Packers. I get to decide whether I take these teams seriously at the end of this week, which I do like from a weekend perspective.
For the Ravens, just the math too. I mean, as you said, I mean, you get to 1-6, it is over. Whereas if the Ravens look really impressive against Chicago, who's on a roll right now, and Lamar looks good and the defense shows any sign of improvement, you can say, okay, are they capable of going on a run here a little bit? That would be something to watch versus what we've seen at this point in time from the Baltimore Ravens. So yeah, that's what I'm intrigued by. Although for our Circa picks, and we'll talk about it later as our group, I think a lot of us like Chicago to cover the 6.5, not really sold that their defense can get it all figured out. And then, you know, for me, Buffalo, the fact they're facing Carolina with Andy Dalton means it's a little more of an interesting game. Like, Andy Dalton might be 37 years old or whatever it is, but he gives the Panthers a better chance to beat a team like Buffalo.
They
are
4-3. They have the same record as the Chiefs. If the Bills lose to the Panthers, until they make a trade, I'll be viewing them different this year. They feel, and it's too early to say this, Cole, but you know what the Bills have felt like a good chunk of this season? A team whose window finally caught up with them. We mention this all the time. The run the Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens is on. They don't usually have three teams continuing their run for this length of time. There's usually down years mixed in there. Now, the Chiefs, one team can dominate like that. They have never had a down year. They've maintained their level. Down year for them is 11 wins and goes to the AFC championship game. So essentially, they don't have down years. But when you look at like the Bills and the Ravens, Ravens are in the middle of it. They're getting hit like an absolute rock right now across the board. So they're kind of screwed. But when we start looking at the Bills, they just kind of don't have the same dominant energy we're used to. They're much worse on defense than they've been.
The defense allows every team to be in a game. That's the thing where it's like, you know, you see them as 7.5-point favorites, the Bills on the road. They're coming off of a bye. That's the only part here is like that, you know, as we were having a discussion earlier in the week about
that should help them.
As the threats and how big of a threat they are and when's the next loss coming for Kansas City. I do want to see what their defense looks like out of the bye week. Did they make some improvements there? Otherwise, I think they might be in for more of a battle than people think against the Panthers, who are getting some confidence going, even if it's Andy Dalton, which in a weird way, I think is a slight upgrade for them.
You know, we talked about this, although I thought that about Carson Wentz, and I watched that game last night. I saw Kevin Clark ask this question. I think he was asking for real. What is the oldest quarterback who you could put on that team who you would get better play than Carson Wentz is giving right now? Like,
active quarterback?
No.
Tom Brady? Anybody. I mean, is the obvious answer.
You'll take Tom Brady even off the street, if that's the case.
What about?
Now, his offensive line's not great.
My answer was Kurt Warner. Too far?
Yes.
Kurt Warner. Are you sure?
How old is Kurt
54?
Warner?
54?
Yeah, come on.
Dude, did you watch Carson Wentz last night?
I know. I understand.
Kurt Warner's 54 and hasn't, you know, come on.
I think that's rude to Carson. I know that he didn't look good, but that's crazy. 54?
Cody, let me ask you, when do you think the last time Kurt Warner took a snap?
13, probably 14.
I was a freshman in college, okay? In 2009.
Oh, that's pretty close. I said 2010.
I was being too fair.
So, no.
It's not
Kurt Warner.
I don't know, man.
Come on.
I had to watch Carson Wentz play.
No. He's also
Manning's
hurt.
Too broken. What about
He's
Eli?
Hurt.
Would you take Eli?
I think Eli might be another one up there.
I want to know the oldest quarterback you would take to start over Carson Wentz, who is not in the NFL.
How old is
Eli? 45?
Is Tom Brady older than him?
Eli hasn't played in 6 years.
Is Tom Brady older than him?
I don't think that matters based on the way Carson Wentz is playing.
Oh, come on.
If Tom Brady's older than Eli
Brady's
Manning,
48,
then,
yes.
Okay, Tom Brady's the answer. He's 48? Tom's the answer, and it's
Tom's
nobody
48.
Else. Nobody else older than him.
Nobody else older than him. We're capping it there.
48? I mean, that's a stretch. Like, Tom's got to have a good O-line, a decent O-line at least.
I mean, this is the year where Andy Dalton's going to make a start this weekend. Joe Flacco is the active starting quarterback for an NFL team. So it's not like
but they've played,
the old
though.
Guys don't get a chance. They got to get J.J. McCarthy.
You're not even mentioning Tyrod Taylor, who might start for the Jets. Tyrod Taylor's not exactly 24 years old. He's 36.
Cody, you're trying to pull Kurt Warner off the TV set where he hadn't played in
I'm not so sure
years.
He wouldn't
That's
execute.
Crazy.
I'm not so sure he wouldn't execute the offense better.
15 years later,
I am
later,
not
though,
so sure
16?
He couldn't at least get a pass out in the flat to Justin Jefferson, you know?
Oh, if we're talking, could he do a drive? Oh, well, then, yeah, I think Kurt Warner could do a drive.
You're just saying he would make it four quarters.
No way.
Carson Wentz barely made it four quarters. He's coming out of the game with his wrist hurting.
Kurt Warner would
get already hurt going into the game, too.
Kurt would get sacked one time, and then
he won't
he would
get
be,
up.
No, yeah, he'd be like, nah, man, I'm done.
Yeah, the life alert commercial, but in a football game.
If Cam Newton came off of the set, would he do better than Kurt Warner, or better than Carson Wentz right now?
Yes.
Now the slander is strong towards Carson Wentz. Look, the guy's not playing well. It's not like he's the worst quarterback in the league,
Cam Newton would be better than Carson Wentz right now. I absolutely think that.
They're starting to be convinced Vinny Testaverde would have a chance.
That's crazy.
Someone says Cody wants John Elway still to be playing.
I'm surprised. How old is John Elway now? 60?
Dude, come on. I'm not that crazy.
He's 65 years old, okay? He's collecting Social Security, all right? come on.
Can you imagine?
Carson Wentz is bad. He's not like John Elway straight off his AARP membership bad.
I think Tom Brady's the answer. I think Cam Newton, though.
The better answer, someone says, right, Ryan Tannehill hasn't played in years, and he's younger. Pick him instead.
Honestly, and look, they're getting ready
to get JJ McCarthy. I'm surprised that he hasn't gotten signed. Is it because he's not
37 now? But.
Oh, I understand, but is the reason Ryan Tannehill hasn't played in 3 years or whatever is because he hasn't been offered a starter gig? He's like, nah, man, I'm coming back and I'm starting.
You know, 2 years not playing, his body's not getting beat up. He might,
how often do you watch a player and you just like genuinely feel bad? Like, please stop.
I feel bad for Carson.
Please stop putting him out there. Like, I felt genuinely like. Part of the way through the game, you're like, I just feel bad for Carson. It's like, get him off the field. This is hard to watch. You feel bad for the person.
It's because their third quarterback, the rookie from Minnesota or whatever, like they clearly have no faith in him playing at all.
I mean, it couldn't have been
worse. We always say that a lot in sports.
He's a quarterback on an active roster. Mm-hmm. Like, they lost 37-10. It actively, other than what the Chiefs did to the Raiders.
Yeah, the Chargers played really well. That's why I liked the Chargers quite a bit last night. We talked about that yesterday.
When do you think the division? Do you think it'll be the final week of the season? That the division is decided.
The AFC West?
Yes.
The Chiefs played the Raiders in the last week. The Broncos. Week 17.
It's trending that way.
Week 17.
So you think the week before we'll know.
Yeah.
I think if so, I'm curious, who do the Chargers have next week? Because the Chiefs obviously
Titans.
Have the Bills. Okay, so to me, so this is the thing. If the Chargers win again, what would they be? 6-2?
Yeah.
I think if the Chiefs were to.
They already have three losses. So they're 5-3 right now, guys. The Broncos are 5-2. Chiefs are 4-3.
Okay, the Broncos are 5. But let's say the Chargers get to 6-3. If the Chiefs beat the Commanders and then they lose, let's say they're 5-4, still a game back halfway through. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Chargers might be able to hang at least, because I think we looked at at the remaining schedule for the Chargers. It's not the easiest, but it's also not like death row, if you will.
I think every week's going to be a fight, but they're not going to be like.
I think it'll go to the end.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 17 or 18. I think it's going to be down to the bitter end.
All right, up next, let's talk a little college football. Two massive games locally. You got the Sunflower Showdown, and you've got major college football playoff implications in Nashville with Vanderbilt and Mizzou. We'll get into that matchup and the Heisman implications as well next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Huge college football games coming up tomorrow. Obviously, the Chiefs play Monday, so it allows us on a Friday maybe to key in on some college football more than we typically would. Monday, we will focus entirely on Chiefs Commanders out at Arrowhead. Josh Briscoe is going to join us, though, in 30 minutes. We will talk plenty of Chiefs with him. But let's start with Vanderbilt and Mizzou. That's the bigger game, no doubt. It has massive college football playoff ramifications. The Missouri Tigers coming off a really, really tough win on the road in overtime against Auburn. You've got Vandy, who has played, seemingly it seems like has played everybody at this point in time.
Haven't they played their schedules?
You've got tough. Diego Pavia, who continues to go up and up the Heisman odds board. And I think if they were to get a win over Mizzou, he would have like the second best odds by the time we get to Monday morning. Right now, he has odds only worse than or tied with Marcel Reed at A&M. The Ohio State quarterback, 4-1. Simpson, 3.5, and then Fernando Mendoza at Indiana, also plus 330 or so. So that's the Heisman market. What do you guys make of this matchup? Missouri is a 2.5-point underdog. My question for Missouri is, teams the last 2 weeks, Alabama and Auburn, and yes, they beat Auburn, they've been able to really key on Ahmad Hardy because it has been exposed a little bit that
Prabula
either his own ability, but more important, I think they don't have the deep threats. Like, it's not like there's not a Luther Burden on the team, okay?
Yeah.
You're not worried about them beating you down the field all that much. Like, Norwood, the tight end, is a nice piece, but he's an underneath guy. You're not going to go get a 30-yard pass to Norwood. So I think you can really focus on Hardy, and these SEC teams are really able to slow down this Missouri offense, and that's where I think they'll run into trouble again tomorrow.
So it's tough right now because Vanderbilt has been the more impressive team from a schedule perspective. Look, take out the South Carolina game because that doesn't look like they were a ranked opponent when Vanderbilt played them. But I don't know. They'll look like the same.
Both teams played South Carolina anyway.
Yeah. So, like, whatever. We can just move on from that. Back-to-back games against Alabama and LSU, who were top 10 ranked opponents when they faced them. They lost one to Alabama. They beat LSU. And now they have Missouri and Texas the next 2 weeks. Just ranked team after ranked team after ranked team. And so it's been a challenge, obviously, for Vanderbilt. The two things that stand out to me are, do they have an answer for if Pavia gets on the move? Missouri's had a little bit of trouble, and Drew, you can back this up. They've had a little bit of trouble when guys have gotten off script at quarterback. They're fine at getting pressure. They got a great defensive line. But when quarterbacks get off script, which Pavia's very good at, they don't necessarily have the corners to guard them all the way down the field and run into a little bit of this. We'll ask Gabe DeArmond about this later. That's my biggest matchup concern on defense for them. But yeah, I am worried about maybe the shine coming off Perbula a little bit. As a reminder, there were massive questions about if he was going to even be the starter, if he was the right guy to be a starter, and the limitations that might exist there. In the last couple of weeks, the limitations have shown a little bit more. The only thing that helps him is anybody who goes to Vanderbilt, this is kind of like Vegas, because people like going to Nashville and it's an SEC. You get quite a few Missouri fans there.
It's going to be a great atmosphere. Yeah, it's a great trip. College game day is there, yeah. And this is number 15, number 10, Saturday afternoon. I'm excited for this game tomorrow. I just, the same kind of reasons I gave in the Alabama game, frankly, I'm a little concerned, except Diego Pavia also, and this is another game where the better quarterback is on the other team.
Yeah.
You know, Vanderbilt has the better quarterback. Nobody's disputing that. What do you make of this matchup, Drew?
I think that it's interesting because Missouri's defense has really kept them in games for the most part. Like, I think their offense has been lackluster, especially, obviously, against Alabama. Third down, they only had one third down conversion. You're never winning against a good team that way. Defense kept them in the game. Defense did their job against Auburn. Fortunately, they didn't lose because Auburn missed two field goals. It feels like if they're going to win this game, the offense is going to have to give the defense something, where I think the game is going to be tight. I think the defense can hang. As you said, Cody, they got a very good defensive line. Secondary's been good. Toriano Pride's been great. It feels like they've got the potential to win, but we need to see what they might need the ceiling of Bo Perbula to show up for one game, just one game, to give him a little bit of a breather, because if you get top-tier Bo Perbula and what he can be, then they're going to be able to win the game. I also think it's interesting for the offensive side of things is, can you get Ahmad Hardy going? Because last week they really struggled in the trenches.
Oh,
they really had an issue running the football just in general. So if Vandy is dominant in the trenches again, then I think it's not going to bode very well for the Missouri Tigers.
Who do you guys think is going to win the game?
I pick Vandy.
Yeah, I'm on Vandy.
I'm on Vandy too. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I'd love to see one of the local schools in the college football playoff. I genuinely would.
It gives them more margin for error to, otherwise Mizzou's got to win out if they lose this game to have a shot at the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, a three-loss team, I think it's over if they lose.
Yeah.
I don't think a three-loss Missouri team's getting in.
They only have two losses. They only have one loss right now.
Yes.
But here's the thing.
They have to win out if they lose this game.
But if they lose to Vanderbilt, I don't think they're winning out.
I understand that, but I'm just saying the options are they have to do it.
That's fair, Drew. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. That is, yes. If you lose this game, does anybody think they're winning out?
Probably not. No. I would say no, but that's what they have to do to make it, I guess, is the... Do I think so? Probably
that's
not.
That's why the Alabama game was so massive.
Exactly.
You beat Alabama, then you're saying, okay, you've got wiggle room.
Yes.
So I'm excited for the game. I'm excited for it tomorrow afternoon. All right, earlier in the day, 11 a.m. kickoff in Lawrence, Sunflower Showdown. This one is just all about erasing history and dominance in this game for me. That's what it's about. We're not talking college football playoff with these teams. We're talking a rivalry game. Neither team has probably had the season specifically they would like to have. Certainly K-State. KU, I also think, had bigger aspirations than where they're at. The Jayhawks are 3.5-point favorites, but Kansas has lost 16 straight. 16 straight to the Wildcats, all right?
Because of that, is it weird that I think this is a bigger game for Klieman than it is for Leipold? In the sense that if all your predecessors just beat up on Kansas forever.
Yeah.
Losing to Kansas would be a very bad signal for Klieman's job security at Kansas State. And they're like, you can't even beat Kansas in a down year? We've beaten them 16 straight years. They haven't gotten us in forever, Chris.
It feels like
such a massive game for Chris Klieman in that regard because they haven't lost to Kansas in so long.
Yeah, so I think it's the opposite. On the other hand, if you're Lance Leipold, you haven't beat K-State in your history. Program hasn't beat them in 16 years. K-State is down compared to where they have been. It has to happen this year. If not, it goes to 17 years. You say, is Lance Leipold going to continue to lose to them as well? The good news for them is Jaden Daniels on the mind with the Commanders, who's not playing. Jalen Daniels, 1,700 yards passing, 18 touchdowns, and only two interceptions. He's not making the mistakes that he has made in prior games. So this is going to be a pretty good atmosphere, to say the least. There'll be plenty of K-State fans that buy some tickets as well. Obviously, the stadium has been redone. I think Kansas wins this in a shootout. It has to be that. I don't think their defense is going to slow down Avery Johnson all that much. I also don't think Kansas State is going to slow down this KU offense. So if you like points, this is going to be the game for you tomorrow.
So we both
totals
like the over.
56 and yeah. a half.
This has a 38-35 vibe written all over it.
Take the over.
Which would cover by quite a margin.
The major question is for Kansas, can they finally stop the run? They haven't been able to do it all season unless they played Fresno State or Wagner. Can they stop the run? For K-State, it feels like they're – I know both teams are coming off the bye week. KU's got to show it to me, I think. It kind of similar to how Bo Prabula's got to prove it to us and show me that he's capable of being that guy. I think he is. I think KU can fix the run defense problems, but they haven't been able to do this point. I think Avery Johnson, Joe Jackson, even though Dylan Edwards is not playing, you got to be licking your chops a little bit at the way that KU's run defense has been. I think I agree with you more, Cody, just on the side of the Chris Klieman thing, because not only is it a bad season for them, what they've considered to be a bad year, if they lose to Kansas for the first time in since 2009 or however long it's
16
been.
16 straight.
Yep.
Then I think next people are going to start to get even more perturbed with the way that things have gone. I think there's more pressure just from a head coaching perspective on Klieman than in Leipold in this one, mainly for that reason, based on how K-State's season has kind of gone to this point.
They will forgive a lot more in a down season. If it's a down season and you lose to Kansas for the first time in 16 years, they're going to be out for his head.
Yeah, it's funny how you guys view it. I understand the point of view. I just think it's the opposite. Again, when one school has lost 16 straight years and the school that has beat you for 16 straight is not as good as they have been, you have to take advantage. And you're at home? Come on.
Are we sure, though, that K-State's not as good as KU is?
Yeah,
right
for
now?
Those saying that it's going to rain, look at the under, my guy. Yeah, as we talk about this in betting all the time, it's not the rain, it's the wind. The rain doesn't matter for the unders. It's the wind. If it's 30-mile-per-hour wind, then you like unders. The rain is not going to impact the game as far as the passing the football. Now, could there be fumbles? Sure, but that actually can lead to scoring as well.
I
disagree.
You run the ball more in the rain, and what is KU's defense bad at?
They
can't. The least amount of rush yards they've given up in a game this year to a Power 5 opponent is 181 yards. Yeah. They're like dead last in the Power 4.
This happens in NFL games too. People will see that it's going to rain and they just automatically assume it's going to be a low scoring game. It's the wind that gets you on the betting side of things for totals.
Traditionally, yes.
Yeah, people
of course
see
there's
rain, outliers.
Or snow, right, where it might actually impact some of the speed and stuff on the field. We've seen high scoring games in the snow just the same. All right. Good look at the college football teams this week. And I'm sure we'll talk about some of them on Monday, knowing that we won't have a Chiefs game to react to since they play for Monday Night Football. I'd ask you guys a question off the air, and then we'll talk maybe the World Series coming up tonight. Obviously, Blue Jays and Dodgers, two plucky underdogs, dueling it out for a chance to do it. Plus, our guy Vinny was on the
correspondent,
an official MLB correspondent working the gig. We'll talk to him next week about what that experience has been like, certainly. But I'd ask you a question off the air, and I think it's a good one because we all on this show spend a lot of time talking about when we talk about the defense. We obviously mention one thing all the time, which is Spags. That's Spags. Look at the blitzes. Look at the design. Look at the coverage. Look at the adjustments. This is a team that just knows where it's supposed to go and all those things. So I was asking myself, based on like how long I think the defense and how good I think the defense will be this year, what is the thing you like best about the defense without saying Steve Spagnuolo? So don't say, because I actually think if I asked this question, I left it open to interpretation. You'd say Spags. I might say Spags. I think 60% of the text line might say Spags. Once you reminded them, that might be the answer. Because we admit problems with the defensive line, so I don't think that's our answer for it. What do you like best about the defense? What do you think they do best that isn't Steve Spagnuolo?
Yeah, actually, this might shock you. I like their cornerback room. I feel pretty good about it. I know Jalen Watson gets picked on at times from the fan base. I'm not even talking about from the fan base at times in his time here. When he's been healthy, Jalen Watson has been a very, very good number two corner. We know what you're getting in your number one corner. Trent McDuffie's one of the best in the league. So I have a top three corner in football in Trent McDuffie. Jalen Watson as a number two corner is very good for that spot. We all know they work in nickel at times, no Williams. Christian Fulton hasn't played, but in terms of depth in the room, I still like having him now that he's healthy. A guy that they clearly liked in the offseason. I mean, they gave him a nice contract. This isn't just some random guy they signed. They signed a guy with experience who they thought was going to maybe be their guy that was going to allow Trent McDuffie to play in the slot. So what do I like? I like the cornerback room. I think they actually have a pretty deep cornerback room, although maybe they trade one of them in the next week and a half. And they're getting really good play from their number two corner, Jalen Watson.
I don't think that's a bad answer. I think it's perfect. Like, the secondary obviously holds its own. It's weird because, like, when you look at it, it's a bunch of non-long-term guys, right? Christian Fulton's on a short deal. They haven't given an extension to Jalen Watson. I imagine actually he'll make pretty good money being somewhere else. Trent McDuffie, I believe, will eventually get an extension and is a high drafted player, but it's the same grouping of guys they've had for years. Watson and Williams and Fulton. So the familiarity is really there. More than anything, I think, other than just saying, like, I like Chris Jones as a player, who is still having a less than regular Chris Jones year, I actually think the answer for me is the versatility in the linebacker room. I'm not here to tell you that any of these guys are the best linebackers in the NFL, because I actually don't think that that's true, and I think I'd be disingenuous by saying that. Their ability to mix and match and be versatile in the linebacker room is a huge key for what I think works on their defense. Where they're like, we'll use Chenault as a down defensive lineman, out into coverage. We will, Nick Bolton is our tackling machine. Like, they are just multifaceted at linebacker and seem to be, to me, to have maybe the best mix of linebackers and skill sets that they've ever had. They don't have one do everything guy. They all have flaws and problems in their game, but they, as a unit, are about as versatile as I've seen in a grouping for them for the last couple of years. I think it's what I like best about what allows Spags, I guess in this case, an ability to kind of mix and match and move people around, and that kind of change of pace really works.
They got a really good linebacker room. Yeah, really, really good. All different roles, as you were laying out there, different roles and strengths and obviously weaknesses that can still get exposed at times, but they got a really good group, and obviously a group that I know we can't use Spags as the answer for this conversation, but a group that he very much so trusts, and we all know his feeling about Nick Bolton and how he makes sure everybody's in the right spot. So, yeah, it's, you notice neither one of us so far have said, you know, defensive line, which still, while there's issues there, still has a Chris Jones, still has a George Karloftis, but it's because of right after that, there's a big drop off.
And the problem is they got a massive issue. Look, if I just said, how do I feel about their sack guys? I don't hate that George Karloftis, and you could have a worse 1-2 sack punch in Chris Jones and George Karloftis. You can do a lot worse than that in the NFL. If Charles Omenihu can just continue to raise his level of play, my level of concern for the defensive line goes way down. But I'm never going to, I'm very rare chance that I'm going to come in here and say, that's the thing I like best about what they do defensively. Seriously. And look, the safeties, what's funny about them is I just don't notice them. Is that good or bad? Did I get beat over the top a lot?
Well, that's usually good. If you're saying,
I don't even remember them. You were noticing Brian Cook a little bit more.
Yeah.
You don't want your safeties leading your team in tackles necessarily and things like that. So I would say maybe I
deserve more credit for them, you know?
I wouldn't even look at one position group. I think the best thing about this defense is they've got guys you can rely on. I think that Trent McDuffie obviously is the anchor of that. But at all three levels, like, you can rely on Chris Jones to be – as long as he's like,
Except for that one play against the Chargers.
I was going to say, I need to tread carefully, but Chris Jones, you can rely on. Drew Tranquil, you can rely on. Trent McDuffie, you can rely. It feels like they've got guys that you can rely on to do the job every single time. It, particularly Trent McDuffie, of course, being the anchor of that is.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the recognition because he doesn't get thrown the ball, but he is so elite at what he does, where he's always in the hip pocket. You love to have a guy like that. God dang.
Yeah, man.
The text line mentioning they love their physicality, I think that's actually a really good answer. They talk about how they swarm the ball. This is a team that, like, works as a unit. Like, defensively, they are a physical defense. And I will not say that about every defense in the last decade for the Chiefs. They were the bend, don't break, finesse. Oh, look at us. We're athletic. They're not. I don't think they're the most. Do you guys think that this is the most athletic defense in the AFC? I don't.
No.
But I do think that they are physical.
I can tell you, I guess.
I mean, you know a defense that just has,
I mean, the Ravens are athletic, but look how they've turned out.
No, I understand that. And sometimes it doesn't work out that way. The Chiefs in their end, I do think that they got some maulers. Like Chenault and psychos, right? I like the psychotic nature of the linebacker crew. I will say they are a physical defense. They very rarely in a game look like they're just getting tooled up by somebody or out muscled by somebody. That's not where their weakness is. They might get out athletic by somebody. That might happen occasionally, but like I very rarely.
They rarely miss tackles.
Yeah, they wrap up, they gang tackle. There's multiple people on there. I do think they're a physical defense. I think that's a good answer from the text line. 913-586-7965. Always interested in that. Someone's like, they've got a linebacker in waiting in Bassa too. He was getting a few snaps early. I haven't seen him.
Hard to say. Yeah, it's just hard to say at this point because we haven't seen him a whole lot. But yeah, they might have something there. They might. Hey, coming up in 10 minutes, we'll ask Josh Briscoe that same question. We'll also discuss the Commanders a little bit, where things are trending for them heading into Monday Night Football out at Arrowhead. Tonight, though, it is game one of the World Series. Game one in Toronto, Dodgers, Blue Jays. Dodgers are heavy favorites throughout the entire series, trying to go back-to-back. Freddie Freeman is trying to join an elite group, a very rare group of players to have multiple MVP awards. Like, that's where you're talking about who's going to win MVP and all that. Freddie Freeman last year, we were in Vegas when it happened. We were at Circa when he hit the walk-off grand slam to win game one. It was an unbelievable moment.
He won
won it because of that.
Yeah.
But he would be the fourth player, I think, in baseball history to win multiple World Series MVPs. He joined guys like Reggie Jackson and Sandy Koufax. I mean,
they have nicknames for how they perform time of year.
I don't know if Freddie Freeman will get that or not. I want to pick him, but that also scared me away when I'm like, is he really going to be in that company? Is he really? Plus, with Shohei, I feel like everybody's waiting to give it to him, given what he is to the league and everything.
It'll go to Shohei.
Do you think that Blue Jays have much of a shot to win this entire series? I think they lose tonight and they can win game two. Tonight they're going up against Blake Snell and the Blue Jays have a rookie pitcher.
The one thing I'll say that'll keep the Blue Jays in it is maybe they're one of the few teams, I would say, that has enough offensive weapons that they might actually be able to get to a pitching staff that has pitched. And we cannot undersell it enough. The Dodgers pitching staff for the second half of the season in this postseason has been on an all-time dominant run as a staff. And I pointed out these stats, I think, in the AL or the NLCS. They have, for the last 81 games, pitched like the entire staff is Paul Skeens. So just to put it in perspective, they have essentially, as a unit, been Paul Skeens together collectively for the last 81 games. Not a small sample size by any means.
One through four is awfully impressive.
So, and that includes the bullpen and everything else in between. So to think, if there's an offense that could get to him, yes. But do I give him like a 30% chance? The Dodgers are the better team. Baseball's weird. Things happen. They can certainly win four games and a seven try. But I would say I would get on them early. For the Dodgers or for the Blue Jays to win this series, they're going to need to be up 2-1 in this series, get the game tonight. Like, I think they're going to need to be playing from ahead, not playing from behind.
It's hard to imagine winning the series without stealing one tonight. I know they're the home team, but when you're going up against Blake Snell, if you were able to get a few runs on him early, then that changes maybe how you think the series go. I think the Dodgers win tonight, and then maybe they lose in game two. You need George Springer to continue to be what he has in October, which is a great postseason player. I mean, he's been a great player anyway, but in the month of October, he's really, really special. We know what Vladdy is capable of doing as well. But I'm excited for it. I'll admit, like, I don't know if it's just because we're all in football mode. We've got some big local college football games tomorrow. The Chiefs obviously are getting things going. I'll watch. I'm not going to act like I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to get to 7 o'clock or whatever it is to watch this game.
I love the World Series and I love watching baseball, but because of the imbalance in the sport. So, like, I'm sure we'll do something in a week, like a week from today almost, not quite, but I think the day after will be the 10-year anniversary of the Royals winning the World Series. So it'd been a decade. I can't believe it's been a decade, but it'll been a decade since the Royals won the World Series. In that time in between there, you have to be a top 10 spender in baseball in order to do it. So part of me is the excitement over watching the Dodgers again lowers it a little. Like, and I'm sure that that's how some people talk about the Super Bowl or whatever other things when they're sick of looking at the Chiefs playing them, you know? There is a part of, like, if you're not a fan of the team in it constantly doing it, and it's not like I'm like, ooh, go Blue Jays. If they had gotten me a team like the Mariners or the Brewers or a team that, like, there's a rooting interest party for me, I'd be more excited about it. I'll obviously watch it. But yeah, my excitement level for this matchup is not the same as it would be before. So now I have to count on, like, the games being good.
Go Blue Jays.
You know, other than I want to watch Shohei Ohtani do absolutely ludicrous things. That
I think he'll pitch in, what, game four?
Yeah.
All right.
Blue Jays are winning in six.
Blue Jays in six?
Yep. They won in home.
Okay. I'll go Dodgers in five.
Dodgers.
I love
six.
Blake Snow, though, and Mookie Betts. And there's so many players. It's the thing.
Yeah, like 17 MVPs on that team.
There are so many players on the Dodgers that you love, but it's the Dodgers, and they're all collectively on one group. You just hate the Dodgers.
How many collective MVPs and Cy Youngs does the Dodgers current roster have? It's unfair, according, because, of course, we are including current Clayton Kershaw, who's on the active.
Yeah, what is it? Four MVPs?
I mean, there's... Dude, I don't know.
I mean, can I count the one? Can I count the one Shohei? Can I count the one Shohei's? Can I count the one MVP Shohei's about to win again? Because he's going to win.
I believe so, I'll
between Cy Youngs and MVPs, it's got to be double.
I think it's
close.
I think it might be five MVPs, maybe six, and then at Cy Youngs. I'm not sure how many Kershaw ended up with in his career. Three. Kershaw wins Cy Young 3 times.
And he's, Shohei had one. Didn't Shohei get a Cy Young?
I don't have it. I don't know off the top of my head.
I'm just like the more I think about it, the
it's
more
a lot, Cody. It's a lot. Yes.
It doesn't. Oh, here we go.
What's the answer?
Dodgers award winners. Uh-huh. Let's see. Shohei has an MVP. Cody Bellinger won an MVP. Nope. That's,
well, he's not on the team.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm just looking. Yeah. Kershaw. I'm just looking. Is that it?
I'll let you dig into that a little bit more and give us our answer on that. But up next, let's talk about the Chiefs welcoming in the Commanders. Joshua Briscoe will be hosting pre and post game, of course, Monday night against the Commanders. We'll ask him about Washington and what he's seen this year and if he was encouraged by Andy Reid's comments yesterday.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.